This is the Gospel Truth Weekly Podcast with myself, Miles McKee. And the title of today's little message is God Forbid. And we've taken our text right out of Galatians chapter 6, for there in verse 14 it says, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. What an amazing little verse. I think Isaac Watts had that in mind when he penned the wonderful words, when I survey the wondrous cross on which the young Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss and poor contempt on all my pride. And then in verse 2 he said, forbid it, Lord, that I should boast, save in the death of Christ my God. Of all the vain things that charm me most, I sacrifice them to his blood. God forbid that I should glory. Now, there's another word for which could be translated there for glory is boast. God forbid that I should boast, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Indeed so. You know, Paul the Apostle had a lot of things he could have boasted about. I mean, Jesus appeared to him when he got converted, when Paul got converted, Saul of Tarsus got converted. The Lord appeared to him. Now, not every one of us has that happen to them. Now, that's very unusual. He could have boasted about that, but he said, no, God forbid that I should glory, I should boast, save in the cross of Christ, my God. He could have boasted that he had started a string of churches. Look at that, Ephesians and Romans, and that, or taken care of them. He had a whole big network throughout the Roman Empire. Believers, and they were all looking to him, the apostle to the Gentiles. See, he could have boasted about that. He could have boasted that he at times sent hankies to people and they got better. Yeah, and sick people got better. And he could boast glory that he had been taken up to heaven at one stage, to the third heaven. And then again, he could boast that he had written 14 books of the Bible. But he says, God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross. God forbid that I should glory, I should boast, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, what is the cross? It's a wee piece of wood, that's what. It's a wee piece of wood. He's not boasting about a wee piece of wood. Paul didn't carry around a wee piece of wood from the cross and say, God forbid that I should glory, save in this piece of wood. No. The cross is, though, a piece of wood. It has no power in and of itself. What gives it its power, then? Well, I'm glad you asked. What gives the cross its power is the person of the cross. The person of the cross gives the cross its power. God forbid that I should boast save in the cross of, here it comes, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the person of the cross, the Lord Jesus Christ, that gives power and authority to the cross. The Lord Jesus Christ. Look, Paul is not subject to his own ministry, and are not subject to the boasting about his own ministry. He says, no, we preach not ourselves. This is in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We preach not ourselves, but Jesus Christ the Lord. And so that means, as a preacher, I'm not here to preach about you, and you're not here to preach about me. Not you, not me, but we, nowadays, preaching ourselves, preaching all about us, that's just the norm. Where do we hear about Jesus? Oh, do you want to be crucified to the world? Absorb in your mind about the Lord Jesus Christ. But preaching ourselves is the norm. But God forbid that I should boast, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so then, who is this person of the cross? Well, he's the Lord Jesus Christ. But let's break that down. He's the Lord, the sovereign. Now, remember, as we were saying, Paul, when he got converted, he was knocked to the ground and he was blinded. And his first question was, who are you, Lord? Boy, I tell you what, that's a big question. But the one thing about it is he knew who was in charge because he called him Lord. He says, who are you, Lord? You're the one in charge. You're the sovereign over this situation. Who are you? What a big question. And then he asks the second question, what would you have me to do? And so often we want to do, but the first thing we should want is to know. To know who has saved us. Who is he? Well, one time the old country preacher was preaching. He said, don't give me your creed. Just give me your deed. No. He had got it wrong. God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of the Lord, the God-man. That's who the Lord Jesus is. He is the God-man. He's God manifest in the flesh. God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. Oh my, the God-man, the sovereign of the universe, the one in charge of all things, had come to earth. He always demonstrated that he was in charge. Think of his death. Did you know he chose the manner of his death? In John chapter 3, he says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must I be lifted up. So must I be lifted up. He chose the manner. You know, they tried to kill him before the cross. One time after a church service, they were so mad at Jesus, they led him up to the brow of a hill. And they were going to kill him, but Jesus decided not to die that way. So he turned around and he walked away, and I can see the crowd splitting in two like the waters of the Red Sea. No, he wasn't going to die by being executed, by being thrown over a cliff. He came to die on the cross. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must I be lifted up. And he chose not only the manner of his dying, but he chose the motive. Well, what do you mean by that? Well, Mark 10, verse 45, he says, I've come to minister, to give my life a ransom for many. There was a whole purpose to him going to the cross. It was to ransom his people, to buy back ransom, the payment of a price, to take us back. We were lost and we needed to be purchased. So he went to the cross. It wasn't an accident. It was all pre-planned, slain from the foundation of the world. Did you know there was a Savior in heaven before there ever was a sinner on earth? Yeah, he chose the manner of his death. He chose the motive of his death. And he chose the moment of his death. He bowed his head and dismissed his spirit. He chose the exact moment of his death. When the ransom had been paid, when his people had been ransomed, when everything was satisfied, when salvation was accomplished, when he had exhausted the wrath of God against the wrath of God against God's people, at that exact moment, he said, it is finished. It's over. And he dismissed his spirit. He died. Oh, you say, what's so special about that? Hey, you come and try it. Listen, show me how smart you are. I love to say this to congregations when I go preaching. If it's nothing special, you come and show us. Come on, up to the front, Show us. Lie down there and die. Of course you can't do it. Now, of course you can shoot yourself, but we're not talking about that. We're talking about you having the authority to dismiss your spirit. You can't do it. You can't do it. Oh, some people have got so brokenhearted over a few days, some terrible thing has happened, and then a few days later they die. But you can't just dismiss your spirit anytime you want to. It doesn't work like that. Jesus did. He chose the moment of his death because he's the Lord. He's in charge. He is the master. He knew the manner of his death. He knew the motive to give his life as a ransom for many, and he knew the moment. No wonder we call him the Lord. No wonder we bow before him. But God forbid that I should boast. God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, which brings us to the second part of his name. He's Lord Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Yeah, don't you love that name? Just by the way. Oh, I understand. I wish I could have done it, but I understand John Newton. Remember the guy who wrote Amazing Grace. Well, he also wrote How Sweet the Name of Jesus Sounds. In the believer's ear, it soothes his sorrows and it heals his wounds and drives away his fear. Oh my. Well, why did they call him Jesus? Why didn't they call him something like Fred or Archie? Well, the answer is Matthew 1:21. The Father had sent an angel to speak to Joseph. He said, call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Wow. He's named by the Father, by the one who knows him best. Call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Don't you love that name as Jesus? It's a lovely name. That's enough to melt your heart, that name, Jesus. He shall save. Oh, think about that. My dear friend, he shall save his people from their sins. He's the Savior. He shall save. No, not you. You shall save. You're not going to save yourself. I have good news for you. You're not going to save yourself. You can get rid of that self-righteousness, you will not save yourself. And he will, however, save his people from their sins. If you don't know about your sin, how are you ever going to be saved? He will save his people from their sins. If you think you have no sin, how will you ever be saved? If you think you're good enough, how will you ever be saved? He will save his people from their sins. What a wonderful Savior. Yes, he's a wonderful Savior. Call him Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. It's a very suitable name, the name of Jesus. Suitable for him. It really describes his work, because Jesus means Yahweh saves, or Jehovah saves, Yahweh saves. He shall save his people from their sins. That's what Jesus is. That's what Jehovah does. That's what Yahweh does. Jesus is the Savior. He shall save his people from their sins. And that's very good news for sinners. Hello, are you like me? I'm a sinner. Hands up. I'm claiming I'm a sinner. That's good news. He shall, oh Lord, I hold on to that. He shall save your people from their sins. Yeah, but it's good news, but it's also bad news. Bad news that he will save. Bad news for the self-righteous. The self-righteous don't have a Savior. He'll save his people from their sins. So the first link between us and Christ is not our goodness, but our badness. The link between us is not our merit, but our misery. The link between us is our standing. It's not our standing, it's our falling. It's not the link between us is not our riches, but our need. Sin has made us miserable. We've fallen. We're in need of redemption. Jesus didn't come to reward us for our virtues. He came to remove our sins. You shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save. Oh, isn't that amazing? You know, if he doesn't save you, he's not Jesus. Do you hear me? I want to take the pressure off you. You're trying desperately to be saved. I mean, look, I'm not against anybody giving it a good effort, but you've got to know that your Savior is not your works, not your good deeds, but Jesus. Come on to me, he says, and be ye saved. All ye ends of the earth, come on to me. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You shall be saved. Believe, trust. The works take care of themselves. If you're following Jesus, not following works, if you're following Jesus, the works, they'll come along. They'll come along. If you're worried about your salvation, turn to Jesus. I'm talking, now look, if you're not caring a word about salvation, you think, I'm a good person, I'm a decent person, I don't care, I'm not talking to you. Well, I will talk to you. I want you to be saved. How do you get saved? You trust in Christ. You put your trust in Christ. You ask him to save you. He is the Savior. Don't talk about Jesus like he was the Savior. No, he is the Savior. Call on the name of the Lord and you shall be saved. And if he doesn't save you, he's not Jesus. For he, Jesus, call him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Look, Brother Miles, are you talking about unbelievers or believers? Well, I'm talking about both. Doesn't matter whether you're a believer or unbeliever. He's the only salvation. There's no admission to heaven outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we go to prayer, we not legalistically claim his name. We pray in the name of Jesus because we're before the Father. That name Jesus is the declaration of our acceptance. I'm accepted in heaven. Every believer is accepted in heaven, not because they're believers, not because they're good, not because they've done deeds, but they're accepted. Accepted in the Beloved One, Ephesians 1, verse 6. Jesus is our acceptance, and so we state that before the Father. We're accepted in heaven. This is amazing. I know, it's incredible. We are accepted in heaven because of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's totally amazing. He is our redemption. He has bought us back. He has purchased us. He is our Redeemer. When did he redeem us? He redeemed us at the cross. God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is our access. The only reason we have access to heaven is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our access. God forbid that I should boast. God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. So he is the Lord, the Sovereign. He is Jesus. He's the Savior. And he's the Christ. Yeah, Christ simply means sufficient, anointed, sufficient. Everything we have, we need, everything we need, have and need is in Christ. And the Holy Spirit comes to make this real to us. You know, we're not just reading about a guy who went to the cross 2,000 years ago or so. When the Holy Spirit goes to work, that becomes alive to us. That becomes very real to us. The truth that we're sinners becomes very real. That's the wonderful work of the Holy Spirit. He convicts and tells us about our worthlessness before the all-worthy God who hates sin. He makes it real. And he births faith in our heart and we see It all becomes different because we see and believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. And we see our sufficiency is in Christ. The Lord Jesus has been given the Spirit without measure, and we have the Spirit to proclaim and declare the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Proclaim it in every corner. Proclaim it all over the place. India, Africa, Myanmar, Nepal, England, Ireland, USA. Proclaim it. Proclaim it. Proclaim it. We have a sufficiency to proclaim it. Yeah, do we know him? Well, let's get to know him. The God-man, the all-sufficient one, the anointed one, the one who is made real by the Holy Spirit. He is our sufficiency. We are complete in him. Colossians 2:10, we are complete in him. The Holy Spirit will show us the repository and treasure of all goodness and all grace in Christ Jesus. And there's all life in Christ Jesus, and light and power and mercy in the Lord Jesus. Wow. Everything we need in him. God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is filled with all the unspeakable riches of divine grace, and his grace is flowing to you. Believer, his grace is flowing to you. Right this minute, his grace is flowing to you. Yes, indeed, his grace is flowing like a river from the throne of God, welcoming, accepting. Won't you come to him? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. God came to earth. God lived for us. Well, Jesus lived for us, but God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. Yeah. Will you trust him? Will you trust him with your salvation? Will you trust him to save you? Look, if I can be of any help, write to me. Or if you just want to say hello, just write to me, Miles, M-I-L-E-S, at Miles McKee Ministries. Isn't that simple? Miles? It's Miles McKee. I don't even know my own email address. Miles at Miles McKee. Our website is milesmckee.com. milesmckee.com. Very simple. So I'd like to hear from you. Or if you just want to listen, you don't have any questions, no problem. Praise the Lord. Listen, Jesus is God manifest in the flesh. God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that is the gospel truth.